We have read together the Epistle of Jude, and last time we knew who Jude is. And we talked last Sunday evening about the faith that is delivered to the saints once for all. I talked about the faith that was delivered, and it was delivered from the Lord to the apostles, and it was delivered once for all, and it has been recorded for us in the books of the New Testament. And now we want to look at the sure condemnation of the ungodly. The sure condemnation of the ungodly. And we find that in verses 5 through to 16. Verses 5 to 16 of the Epistle of Jude. You know, every country on this earth has a justice system. And no one would reject the justice system or would be willing to abolish the justice system from the land, or would be willing to speak against having justice system in the land. God himself is a God of justice. He is the just God, and he commanded his old people, the Israelites, in the wilderness of Sinai. He commanded them to have a justice system, and he gave them a law. You know, if it happens that God will give the unsaved sinners the choice not to be judged, not to be condemned, I am convinced that they will choose rather to be condemned, because they cannot stand in the presence of the Holy God while they are sinners. And because they cannot accept to be free from condemnation while they feeling guilty. They are feeling guilty. So they will willingly go to the hellfire. They can't stand the presence of the Holy God. We look first at the ungodly people. In verse 4 of the Epistle of Jude, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They are called ungodly. They are described as ungodly. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the meaning of ungodly. They don't fear God. Yes, Christ died for the ungodly, and he justifies the ungodly by faith, through faith in him. But those people insist to continue in their ungodliness. If they repent and come to him, he will justify them. But those ungodly people insist to continue in their ungodliness. Therefore, they turn the grace of our God into lewdness, as Jude says here. They say, since we are under the grace and not under the law, we continue in sin. But Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It is shameful even to speak, not only to do them, to practice them like them, but even to speak about what they do. Actually, these days, things which are done by them openly, openly are shameful. Things which they do openly are shameful. How more shameful are the things which are done by them in secret? What makes them so ungodly and immoral is that they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, corrupt doctrine results in corrupt life, in immoral life. Do you notice that denying the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ and his authority usually is accompanied by or results in sexual immorality? Always people who deny the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, they always commit sexual immorality. Worshipping Baal or idol worship in the Old Testament was accompanied with sexual immorality in their temples. So was worshipping the Roman gods. It was accompanied by sexual immorality. Mormonism allows polygamy. And Islam allows polygamy, and it is full of sexual immorality. It is really shameful to think of the teaching of sexual immorality and what they commit, because they deny the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, please, that idol worship includes also atheism and cultic groups that come out of the nominal Christianity. Every now and then we would hear about a group in America or so. They come from the nominal Christianity, and the leader would claim for himself that he saw the Lord Jesus, or I am the Lord Jesus, and he usually commits sexual immorality with the women who follow him. All of these cults deny the lordship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that's why they commit sexual immorality. Those ungodly people have gone in the way of Cain, as Jude says in verse 11. They have gone in the way of Cain. As Cain envied, as you know the story of Cain and Abel, his brother, he envied his brother Abel. And he killed him. So they do. They envy godly people and they persecute and kill them. They followed the way of Cain. They also have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. They use the religion for profit, even if they have to lead people to perverse and immoral behavior for the sake of the profit or gain they would get out of them. Like Balaam, who taught Balak to put stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. And out of that, he got profit from Balak, the king of Moab. For the sake of the prophet, he did that. And so they do for the sake of profit, for the sake of gain. They commit sexual immorality, and also they lead other people to commit the same with them. And we have here in the Epistle of Jude examples of condemnation of those ungodly people. Condemnation is upon them. and is waiting for them. Is upon them now and is waiting for them also. Jude here gives us three kinds or three examples of condemnations on the ungodly people: temporary condemnation, eternal condemnation, and the third one is temporary and eternal condemnation, both. Temporary condemnation in verse 5. He says, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." He destroyed them in the wilderness of Sinai. God saved the Israelites from the Egyptians who had been enslaving them in Egypt. He led them out of Egypt, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. That salvation, when Jude says he saved people, this salvation of the Israelite was not the eternal salvation. Jude here is not talking about the eternal salvation, but only salvation from the land of slavery, Egypt. Also, the destruction of those who did not believe was only destruction of their bodies in Sinai, in the wilderness. Some of them died in the wilderness and did not enter the promised land, but they were eternally saved. Like, for example, Aaron and Moses, they died in the wilderness, but eternally they were saved. Some of them were destroyed in the wilderness and destroyed eternally as well. But Jude is talking about the condemnation of people here. They suffered in the wilderness. It's temporary condemnation, not eternal condemnation he's talking about. But there is another example: eternal condemnation in verse 6. And he says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." This is eternal condemnation. This is the condemnation of Satan and his hosts. They were angels. We know that from the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Satan was an angel who wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God. And he wanted to be like the Most High. God brought him down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. The Apostle Peter argues about this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he argues that if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but God cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, therefore he reserves the unjust, the unrighteous, the ungodly, he reserves them under punishment of the day of judgment, the great day of judgment. If God did not spare the angels who sinned against God, would he spare the ungodly people who commit terrible sins? Of course not. There is eternal condemnation for them. For everyone who would reject God and his way of salvation for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third example, temporary and eternal condemnation together. Temporary and eternal condemnation together. That's in verse 7. Jude says, as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom and Gomorrah were burnt with fire here, physical fire, and they also are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude says of them that they gone after strange flesh, means they had gone after a natural body for their sexual lusts. A natural body for their sexual lusts. Natural body for a man is a woman, and for a woman is a man, husband and wife, of course. But man for man, or woman for woman, is unnatural and strange. This is a huge sin against the way God assigned for people. The natural is what God has made. He from the beginning made them male and female. It's clear from the word of God. Male and female. Male with male or female with female is unnatural. But the natural thing is man and woman. Because of this terrible sin, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them were destroyed by fire. But not only that, people of all these cities are still and will continue suffering the vengeance of eternal fire in hell. And listen, please. Many times in the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament, many times in the New Testament, the Word of God speaks about fire. Hell fire. It is literally hell fire. But I imagine it's much, much more harsh than the normal fire. That's what the Word of God says. And we have to proclaim the Word of God. We need to know the truth. People of these cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities surrounding them, are still suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Temporary condemnation and eternal condemnation for people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those who go after their lusts, they are naturally punished by different kinds of diseases. They are punished here on earth by different kinds of diseases, and after that, eternal fire. If people of Sodom and Gomorrah were and are condemned, so every ungodly and everyone who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation, everyone who rejects the Lord will certainly be condemned. And here we come to the last point. The ungodly will certainly be condemned. The ungodly, those who do not fear God, will certainly be condemned. Everyone who rejects the Lord is marked out for condemnation. As Jude says here in verse 4, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Of course, this doesn't mean that God from long ago marked some people for eternal condemnation and some other people for eternal life. It doesn't mean that. It means that from the very beginning, God appointed that those who reject Him or backslide from the faith in Christ Jesus, God appointed for them from the beginning that they would be condemned. The appointment here is not about people, but about the condemnation. The condemnation was appointed for everyone who would reject Christ. But there is no one who is appointed from the beginning for eternal condemnation. Because God loves everyone. Jude says in verses 14 and 15, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Enoch was the first prophet to predict about the future in the Bible. Enoch was the first prophet to speak about the future in the Bible. This is the Enoch of whom it is written, "Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him." You remember in Genesis chapter 5. Here is Enoch's prophecy. He starts with the word behold. Behold. He wants to get our attention to an important subject. Important thing. He gets our attention. He says, behold. Because he's going to speak about something very important, condemnation, to warn us, to warn people. He says, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. 10,000s, it doesn't mean exactly only 10,000. You know, this term, 10,000, in Hebrew and in Greek is only one word. In Hebrew, Rabwa, and in Greek, Myrias, from which comes the English word myriad. And that actually, the 10,000 was, which is Rabwa or Myrias, was the biggest number known to people at the time. They didn't know million and billion. But now we know million and billion. So the 10,000, 10,000s of his saints, rabwas or myriads of his saints, that means huge number of the saints. When the Lord Jesus comes, when he comes for rapture, when he comes to take us to heaven, he will come with all the saints who have fallen asleep. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He will bring with him the saints, all the believers who have fallen asleep. He will take the believers who will be still living on this earth. He will take them with him back to heaven, and then he will condemn all those who have rejected him. All those who have rejected him, as Enoch prophesied, he will come to execute judgment in all and to convict all the ungodly people and all their ungodly deeds. God will judge and condemn all the ungodly for their deeds. He will condemn them for their harsh words they speak against him. The Lord says in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. You remember in the morning, men means non-believers. There is no judgment or condemnation for the believers. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 12, I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. God will judge even the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, as Paul says in Romans 2. Listen, please, my friend. Every ungodly, every fornicator, everyone who rejects Christ, everyone who rejects Christ as the Lord and Savior, every atheist, every one who would follow any type of cult, on the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus will say about those people who have rejected him, he will say, bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Bind them hand and foot. Take them away and cast them into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is judgment. And the book of Revelation says, the smoke of their torment will ascend forever and ever. But thanks to God, there is hope. There is a sure hope. Everyone who repents now and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, he will never come to judgment. God has given us a sure way to escape judgment and to have eternal life. This way is to believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again from the dead to serve you in heaven forever. If you come to him by faith, you will definitely escape the judgment, and you will definitely be given eternal life in him. If you come to him, I hope you will come to him tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the eternal life in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the assurance the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirits that we are children of God. And if we are children, we are co-heirs with Christ Himself. We will be definitely with Him in heaven. So help us, Father, every and each one of us, to be 100% sure that he or she is in Christ Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.